Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Shady Rays. SGPN is teaming up with Shady Rays for Shady May. Get 50% off your Shady Rays using promo code SGPN. And then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady for your chance to win $500.
Howdy ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to another action-packed, exciting episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 343. It's going out to Holly Holm, who just got announced for another main event fight coming up.
Wait, really?
Yep, just wait. This is breaking news. Five rounds against Moira Bueno Silva. This is going out to the UFC. UFC taketh away, but then they giveth again. They gave us a Raquel Pennington five-round fight. They tooketh away, and now they're giving us another, like, very exciting women's bantamweight headliner with Holly Holm, who's always brings it in the cage. It's so exciting. July 15th. Can't wait to see it. This goes out to Holly Holm, who is not just there for her extremely entertaining fights, but she's there to protect all her children. She didn't really say from what? From sexualization. So some mythical thing. So probably has to do with the pizza parlor too, but anyhow, that's a different show for a different time. Thanks for coming to this episode. I'm one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. This is not a Holly Holm episode. I guess that'll be happening in July 15th, to be exact. No, we got a couple months to count down for that. We've got the big boys going on. One guy's so big that my co-host's wife even commented on how thick with two C's at the end. T-H-I-C-C he is. It's Rozenstruik versus Almeida. We're going to give you all the prelim fights today. I'm glad to see the UFC have taken one of the fights and added it to the main card, because it's going to be a very prelim heavy episode. But we have five fights to break down tomorrow, and today we have seven fights. So I have my co-host on hand here, who's already interjected, because with this bombshell news I have about Holly Holm, he could not stay silent any longer. So let's bring him in. Daniel Gumby-Vreeland, hello. What do you think of that fight?
I've got so many questions, because wasn't Moira Bueno Silva supposed to fight Miesha Tate?
That sounds
like soon.
That didn't happen already?
No, I think that fight was supposed to happen in like a couple weeks. So now I'm assuming Miesha Tate had to drop out, and this is how they
yeah. You're right.
What they did. This has got to be what they did for Moira Bueno Silva. Maybe. Which is fine. She's on a huge win streak. She probably deserves it. And then the other question I have is, you said July 15th?
Yeah. Yep. Miesha Tate is out, it says this year. It's true.
Is that not the fight card that has RDA versus Vicente Luque? And if so, what the hell would be wrong with that in the main event?
Holly Holm is here for our children, Dan. Do you want your children to be sexualized?
I'm just telling you, if I have to watch five rounds of Holly Holm versus Moira Bueno Silva, or five rounds of Vicente Luque versus RDA, sign me up for RDA versus Vicente Luque.
It is the right fight. It's the same fight card. Correct.
I thought so. I thought that July 15th one had that one on it.
How about five rounds of Josh Parisian? Would you prefer that? Yeah, we would, because it wouldn't last five rounds. Walt Harris, Josh Parisian, but no.
That might last five rounds.
She's still living off. How long ago was it when she had kicked Ronda Rousey?
God, it's got to be half a decade ago by now, right?
Let me see. It was.
No, more than that.
November 15th, 2015. She's still living off of that. She's won
almost 10 years.
Five fights. She's won five fights since then. All of them via decision, I think. No, she had kicked Betch Kahea. Anyhow.
Ronda Rousey knocked out Betch Kahea. That doesn't count.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. MMA math. So, yeah, that's my exciting news bomb. There's been a lot of shuffling around and new headliners. Like off of this card, for instance, we're going to break down. They took Mackenzie Dern and Angela Hill, and now they're going to be headlining.
That's a good headliner, at least.
Next week. Right? Like, yeah, no,
I can watch five rounds of that. That's a good
point. Because we lost Pennington Aldana, too. That's the reason they have to headline. Sad.
Yeah, that's a better headliner. We got an upgrade.
Oh, for sure. But that kind of weakens this. Well, it does weaken this week's card, but whatever. We have some money to be made, hopefully. I found this very chalky. Even for my old chalky self, this was a chalky card. How about you?
I found some value plays I like.
I found a few out of the gate, but the main card, very, very chalky for me. That is foreshadowing for tomorrow's episode, because today is all about the prelims. This is an early one. This is 11:30 a.m. Eastern time is when the prelims are starting on ESPN, ESPN Plus. This is going down from the Spectrum Center in Charlotte, North Carolina, this Saturday. It is called UFC and ABC Rosenstrike versus Almeida, UFC Fight Night Rosenstrike versus Almeida, UFC Charlotte, or UFC and ABC 4. Remember the good old days when I used to name every alt title for the UFC fight events? Well, there you go.
I do remember that one.
Throwback to that for the hardcore fans. It's an early event. Not the strongest card for ABC. Usually, like when back in the Fox days, when they had a Fox card coming up, you knew it was going to be jam-packed. Like the heavyweight title, for instance, was on the line. Fox number one. But those days, I guess, are in a review. But as Daniel said, we have some at least some value plays for you. Before we get into all that, let me tell you about Shady Rays and Shady May, as Gumby told you about off the top of the episode. Shady Rays is teaming up with SGPN for Shady May. Not only do you get an amazing 50% off, but you also have a chance to win $500. Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays have durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. Last of all, Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements, and that is capitalized, so they mean business. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they would send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. And for our international listeners like me, for instance, or hosts, Shady Rays has you covered as well with shipping to Canada, hooray, Australia, New Zealand, and the United Kingdom. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code SGPN for 50% off. Last time I checked, that means half price. Two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. That would be perfect for Father's Day, Mother's Day, all those things are coming up. Maybe both. Buy one for mom, buy one for dad. Then take your receipt to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/shady, S-H-A-D-Y, for your chance to win the $500 Shady May contest. All right. I told you everything about this event off the get-go. We could jump right into making some picks here. Women's bantamweight. Why is this not headlining, Dan? It's a women's bantamweight fight. Jessica Rose Clark versus.
I like this fight. You can rag on it. Yeah. I like this fight.
No, I'm not ragging on it. I enjoy. We talked off air how much we enjoy women's MMA and how it's just like we don't even consider it any different than male MMA. So there you go. There's one good thing about the UFC. One progressive thing about the UFC. All right, women's bantamweights are kicking off the Zodian women's fight on. No, there's another one coming up. Excuse me. Jessica Rose Clark versus Tanera Lisboa. I will tell you about Lisboa. Her nickname is Thai Panther, but Tapology has her as Thai Panther, which is something totally different.
I saw that too. I was wondering if it was a typo or if it was like a Portuguese spelling. Yep. But Panther in Portuguese is Pantera, I believe. So
right. Yep.
Much like it is
a few times.
Well, yeah, but that's the Spanish one. But I'm pretty sure it's the same thing in Portuguese. But nevertheless, yeah, weird one.
Sorry, I'm singing Pantera now. Ty,
was that Walk?
Yes, it was.
Okay, course. I got you.
So either she gets really tired doing Thai and she pants, or she's an actual panther. We'll find out on tune in 11:30 a.m. Saturday. We'll see whether she's panther or she's just out of breath. Anyhow, Lisboa is 5-2 with 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. So she's finished all of her opponents in MMA. I said MMA because just wait. She's been submitted 1 time. This is her UFC debut. She's won 3 straight fights, all via finish. However, she's not fought since April of 2022. Let's take a peek at those stats. We haven't checked that for a while. Fighters have been out of the cage at least a year, are winning 45% overall over the past 4 years now, 3 years. This year, they are only winning 35% of the time. So something to keep in mind. Ring rust and all that. That's the ring rust stat. She used to fight at featherweight. The important thing here is she's a Muay Thai world champion. Multiple times, I think. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yep. She's 1 inch taller than Clark, 2 inches reach on her, 4 years younger, even money on the newcomer, plus 100. Jessica Rose Clark, the off injured. She's coming off an injury again here, is she not? Do I remember? Or was that, am I thinking?
I don't know the correct answer here, but I'm going to say yes.
Usually, she's had some misfortune in the cage recently. All right, Jess, 11-8 with 1 no contest, but knocked out 3 people, submitted 2 people. She's only been stopped twice in her career, both via submission. One of those was an injury one, right? She got her arm snapped, I believe. Did she not? Or yeah, ligaments in her elbow?
Stephanie Ager?
Yes, true. So she's 2-2 over her last 4 fights, but 0-2. Oh, I just told you that. She got submitted in her last 2 fights. No, I didn't. Let's go off the top, Dan. I messed everything up for Jess. She deserves more respect. 11-8, 1 no contest, 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been submitted twice, 4-4 in the UFC. Now I'm on track. She's lost 2 straight fights, both via submission. One of those was the arm breaker, I think. Before that, she won 2 straight fights. She used to fight at flyweight, missed weight there a couple times. Used to fight at featherweight. Now she's right in the middle. 0-2 Invicta, multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2012 pro MMA debut, -101. There's one of those fun lines that you enjoy.
I'm going to kick it off. I'll take Lisboa. I'm going to say, too. Yeah, it's... You know, she's one of those kind of like unknown fighters coming to the UFC. You don't see a lot of these not coming off Contender Series, not coming off of the Ultimate Fighter, not coming off of even a Fight Pass promotion, like, you know, like an LFA or a CFFC or something like that. She's coming off of none of those things. Yet they signed her right away. And I think it's because she's so fun on the feet. She's got like really good. She's the most fun in the clinch. She does really good work with her knees and her elbows in the clinch. She frames really well when somebody's trying to get a takedown on her. If you go back to her fight, you know, it was kind of hard to find some film on Lisboa, at least MMA film on Lisboa. But I found her first ever MMA fight, and it was against Norma Dumont all the way back in 2016. So like 7-year-old fight. And she actually was beating the hell out of Norma Dumont, stuffing takedowns. She looked really good digging for underhooks in the clinch. And that's something that like does not come naturally to strikers really early in their career. And she wound up losing that fight. Norma Dumont like eventually got her down, but had to work really hard for it. I think Lisboa looks really good in those clinches. And since then, she's actually brought her own submission game to the table. Like she's gotten a couple of arm triangle chokes. She's really good on top. And really, if you're looking at Jessica Rose Clark, like simple combinations on the feet from Julia Stoliarenko just like ate up Jessica Rose Clark. And if simple combinations from like a judo specialist like Stoliarenko are going to give you trouble, man, Lisboa is just going to perplex her with her striking. So yeah, give me Lisboa here. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, let me tell you something. First of all, get to your book as quickly as you can and get the line on Lisboa because she opened at like plus 150. She's down to even money. I've seen her in some places in the negative. Get her before she's like negative 135, 140.
Yeah, I guess the probably original line was based off of her MMA record and experience or lack thereof because her opponents that she's fought in MMA, 3-6 were the records at the time that she fought them. Norma Dumont was both of their debuts, but Dumont, obviously that fight has gone on to age well because Dumont's turned into something, but yeah, not a heck of a lot of high level experience in MMA. But obviously it's the Muay Thai that's that carries the day here. Do you see know, who she fought in Muay?
Yeah. When I'm assuming you're about to say the thing I was just about to say
13 years ago.
Yeah, when she was 19, she fought Valentina Shevchenko in a Muay Thai fight. I think Shevchenko was only like 21 at the time or something like that. They're only like 2 years apart. But they were like 19 and 21. I've actually seen it. It's pretty fun. It was like a damn good fight for a couple of like younger women in a Muay Thai fight.
Of course you've seen it. No one's surprised by that listens to this show. So yeah, this is obviously, she's going to have the striking advantage. And she, like you said, she's shown some grappling chops as of late. And I think I got to fade Clark at this point. Really has not looked
well, and especially against anybody, especially anybody who's got any grappling chops, right? Because she's looked real bad on the mat.
Yep. So it's a fade, plus it's a check mark in the newcomers column because she has got the resume, Muay Thai resume. All right, let's move to welterweights. Brian Battle, versus Gabriel Green. Dan, two-time these guys. He had them both on his Top Turtle podcast this week. Not at the same time. That would have been what something the UFC would do. But no, he had both guys on. So listen to that. Both are very good interviews. I'll tell you about Brian the Butcher. I'll begrudgingly call him that because apparently that's his nickname. Brian the Butcher Battle, not Pooh Bear. He's still Pooh Bear in all our hearts, though. He's 8-2. Battle is 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted once. The only time he's been stopped in 10 fights. 3-1 in the UFC, 7-1 over his last 8. However, the loss did come in his last fight, which was a short notice fight. He normally has fought at middleweight. He's down at welterweight now. He went 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter and was the middleweight champion of that season. He's 3 inches taller, got 4 inches of reach on Green. He's a year younger. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.5 strike per minute about. He's at plus 0.55 strikes per minute. He's at plus 115. Gifted Gabriel Green, or Gabe Green. He's 11-4, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 2-2 in the UFC. He's got a loss, win-win, loss. He was a regional champion. 2-1 in Bellator. Used to fight at lightweight. He's more active landing strikes than Battle is. He also has better grappling stats than Battle. However, he's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.72 strikes per minute, minus 129. Going with Pooh Bear, Battle. I dove into the stats just to make sure I wasn't just picking him because he, I think he still is one of our favorites on the podcast and on the and in the Discord, but yeah, he's gonna be much bigger. And he, when you look at the stats, he's a much better striker from distance, which is a big thing I always look at. Probably not as much power as Green, but I think he's a better all-around fighter, and he's gonna be bigger, and he can Green may have better grappling stats, but Battle is no slouch in the grappling department as well. So I don't know why he's at plus 115, but I shall take it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Green is really good on the feet, but I think the length is going to really bother him. The length of Ian Garry really bothered Gabe Green. It really messed him up quite a bit. And I also think Battle is probably only the underdog here because he had such a hard time with Renat Fakhretdinov. And he took that fight on 2 weeks' notice. And Fakhretdinov is like this incredible wrestler. And all he did was take him down a bunch of times. Like, it's not like he outstruck him or anything like that. And I don't think Gabe Green's got that. He can't do that to Brian Battle, right? So I expect Brian Battle to be striking with him. And you said that Green might have a power advantage. He might, but we've only seen Brian Battle twice at welterweight. The first time, he kicked Takashi Sato's head into the first row. It was one of the more impressive knockouts.
Literally, guys. Yeah, literally.
And since then, I mean, like, he didn't really get a chance to strike with Fakhretdinov. That dude was shooting a takedown 6 seconds into every round. So, like, maybe he's got a power advantage, but maybe he doesn't even have that. And so, like, with the length, I actually think Brian Battle is a far better grappler. If, like, Green gets frustrated and shoots in, I think he can get choked. I like Brian Battle quite a bit here.
I apologize for my co-host language during that breakdown. It was just nonstop.
Fakhretdinov.
Fakhretdinov this and Fakhretdinov that. This is technically a short notice. Not really. Not according to my records, short notice fight, but Battle what? Took this in a month and a half notice or something like that. So
yeah, he won it with, I think he won it with 6 to 8 weeks or somewhere in that range. Because it was originally supposed to be, get this, Gabe Green versus Jake Matthews, which I still think it's a weird matchup.
Yeah. Coming off a loss, they give him a step up. Interesting. Or at least similar, a similar level as Ian Garry.
I would pick Jake Matthews to beat Ian Garry.
Yeah. And you're talking about the length. Battle's got 3 inches on Garry also. So length.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
All right. If you're into big dudes, maybe Talkify is the thing for you. How's that for you? That's a perfect.
That's one of the best transitions you've ever done.
If you're into big dudes, are you having a hard time meeting great people to date, like big dudes, for instance? Why do you keep trying the same methods over and over if you know you're set up to fail? It's time to say goodbye to swiping and bring back the human touch to dating with Talkify. Talkify is the country's number one modern matchmaking service that is designed to help you achieve relationship success. The trusted compatibility specialists hand-select successful and compelling candidates so you can date consciously and productively. Here's how it works. The Talkify matchmakers meet you to learn about what you're looking for in a partner. Then they select and screen potential match candidates for you, doing background checks, video interviews, and asking the tough questions that are too awkward for first dates. From there, your matchmaker plans your date introductions and handles all communications for you. I'm reading like a robot now. Creating a safe and stress-free dating experience. I am not AI or a robot. I am a human. Talkify is committed to finding your match. 80% of clients met their person within the first 12 matches. And right now, Talkify is offering our listeners 20% off when you become a client at Talkify.com/SGPN. So it's Talkify.com/SGPN. I will spell it. Get your pens out if people write things down anymore. Talkify.com/SGPN for 20% off when you become a client. That's Talkify.com/SGPN. Did I start sounding like a robot or AI there?
I think you were paranoid.
I got you fooled. Perfect. Deepfake Fox is in the house. All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
What would be an awkward first date question? Like, what are your thoughts on Macy Barber? That would be an awkward first date question, right?
No, well, that no, I make or break every me. That really should be everybody's first date question, because you should know true. You should know whether or not she or he hates Macy Barber. Because if she does it, you don't need that negativity in your life.
It is true. All right, let's move on. Women's flyweight, speaking of Macy Barber, Ji-Yun Kim versus Mandy Baum. So a South Korean versus a German in this fight. We got Monster Baum first, 7-2, two knockouts, two submissions, never been finished in a fight. 0-2 in the UFC, has not won a fight since October of 2020. She was 1-0 in Bellator, was a regional champion. Her striking differential is at, she's been outstruck in the UFC by -1.27 strikes per minute, hence the two losses. However, she does have better striking and grappling UFC stats than Kim does. She also is a professional grappler, Baum is, and she's at +175. Firefist, Kim, 9-6-2, two knockouts, three submissions, never been finished in a fight. 3-6 in the UFC, that's because she's on a 4-fight losing streak and a 1-5 a skid over her last 6 fights. It's not won since October of 2019, so unless this is a draw or no contest, someone is going to break their slump here. She's fight at featherweight. She's missed weight a couple times in the past, so you may want to keep an eye on that since this one is at flyweight. She has multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. 2013 pro MMA debut. She's barely outstruck UFC opponents. Her strike differential is +0.02. So basically a wash there. She has an inch of reach over Baum. She's twice more active landing strikes than Baum is. And she's at -190 on the betting boards. And this would be you.
The stat you said about her being twice as likely to land strikes is really all you need to know here. Because the bottom line is well, first of all, you mentioned the 4-fight losing streak. She didn't lose all 4 of those fights. She beat Priscilla Cachoeira. You can go back and you can ask anybody. You can rewatch that fight. She didn't lose to Priscilla Cachoeira. She beat Priscilla Cachoeira. So that's the first thing. I'm going to play some revisionist history. And then the second thing is even in her losses, the volume's there. She's like, what did you, I don't know if you have the stat in front of you. I think she's landing like 5.5 strikes a minute or something like that. Like, she just goes out there and she throws. And I love that about her.
Keep talking.
All right. And like, so the
stop fact talking.
Okay.
5.79. You're correct.
Okay.
But she,
so even
she gets she gets hit 5.77 times. So that's the problem right there.
But you're right. You're right. So, and I was shortchanging her there, right? Like, so she's above 5.5 strikes a minute. That is exceptional in landing strikes. But then when you look at Bohm, like the thing that has lost Mandy Bohm fights is the fact that she just doesn't have any volume. She just doesn't go for anything. So like, you're right. Fire Fist has the potential to lose fights to people who hit hard and the people who can match her volume. And she's fighting somebody who can do neither of those things and probably can't take her down. So yeah, give me Ji Yong Kim.
You would think having a fist on fire would be illegal in UFC or MMA, but apparently it's not. So definitely give me Fire Fist for sure. Fire Fist will beat any kind of monster. Bombs looked pretty
she looked bad.
Abysmal.
Just yes. Really bad.
That's what abysmal means. Yep. Playing bad since she has entered the UFC. So give me, I kind of like watching Fire Fist fight too. So this is good. Hopefully she can get a win. All right. Let's move to men's lightweights. It's a sausage party here on out. All male fighters. Natan Leve versus Pete Rodriguez, because we need another Rodriguez for me to get confused about in the UFC. This one's Pete. He's dead game. He's 5-1 with 5 knockouts. Have you had him on your show? What's dead game? Do you know?
No, I tried to get him on. We were pretty close to finalizing something, and then that fight got delayed, and then it didn't work out.
He's a tough guy to pin down, apparently. Dead game is. All right, Rodriguez, 5-1 with 5 knockouts. So he's knocked out all of his wins, and he got knocked out in his one loss. So there you go. 1-1 in the UFC. He won his last fight via knockout. He's 5 years younger than Levy. He's 2.5 times more active landing strikes in the UFC than Levy is over their short careers. However, he's been outstruck over his two UFC fights by his opponents by 1.32 strikes per minute. Plus 225. Lethal Natan Leve. 8-1 with 3 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC. He dropped his debut 1-2 straight. 1-0 in the Contender Series. Used to fight at featherweight. Striking and grappling stats are better than Rodriguez, and he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.49 strikes per minute, minus 230. All right, I'm going to roll the dice on another underdog here, Rodriguez. Obviously, the power is going to be there in the striking. I think he's a better, or at least a more powerful and dangerous striker than Levy. Levy's going to try to rely more on his grappling. I'll go with the much younger, more maybe not gifted but more dangerous striker in Rodriguez for a huge plus 225.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Rodriguez too. I think first of all the value here is clearly in Rodriguez's favor. And like if you go back and rewatch Natan Levy's fight with Gennaro Valdez, and I'm gonna give you a specific timestamp. That's how you guys can know I watch a lot of film. Go to 3:30 in the second round. And Valdez hits him with a counter strike, because the thing about Levy is when he moves forward and he strikes, he's open to counters. He's there to be hit. He throws like high kicks and he just stays in range sometimes. And Gennaro Valdez hits him with a counter in the second round, 3:30 left, and wobbles him. He wobbles him bad. And Gennaro Valdez doesn't hit that hard. Pete Rodriguez hits really freaking hard. And I think Pete Rodriguez is being underrated here because we've seen him twice in the UFC. You mentioned he lost his only fight by knockout. Do you remember who he lost to?
No, I remember that he did fight Mike Jackson, though.
Yeah, here's the range.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He fought someone good.
He fought Jack Della Maddalena and then Mike Jackson. So there's the range we're living in here is like a dude who might be champ soon and Mike Jackson. So, like, do we really know what he is? Not 100%, but I will tell you, if you go back and you watch that Jack Della Maddalena fight, he actually lands a couple of nice counters. Like it's not like he looks like he is completely out of his element. Now, Jack Della Maddalena, like, downloads enough data and eventually starts to pick him apart. But, like, Jack Della Maddalena's done that to everybody. He did it to Randy Brown. And, like, if you're putting Pete Rodriguez in the Randy Brown category, he would torch Natan Levy. So, I actually think he's being wildly underrated here. I think the money line is just absolutely juicy for him. So yeah, give me Pete Rodriguez.
It's not like Leve's that been that great, right? Am I forgetting stuff on here?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. Good. 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 All right. We're on the same page. I knew. Okay. I heard Top Turtle. All right. I knew. So I was leaning to Rodriguez, and then when I heard.
He listens to me on other shows.
Once I heard, I guess it would make me a cuck, correct?
I don't think so. No, I don't use well, that word in the first place. But
I like to listen to you and your other host. So, all right, let's go to Bantamweight, shall we? Cody Stamen, before this conversation gets out of control, versus Douglas Silva de Andrade. I will tell you about Silva de Andrade first. D Silva is the nickname. Since his name's so long, I will accept it. He's 28-5 with one no contest, 20 knockouts, 2 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted once. 6-5 in the UFC. He's gone 2-1 over his last 3. However, he did lose his last fight. He's fight at featherweight. 2007 pro MMA debut. Inch height, 4 inches reach on Stamen. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.42 strikes per minute. He's at +135. Mr. Wonderful, Cody Stamen, or Spartan Cody Stamen. 21-5-1. 7 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been submitted twice. 7-4-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight. Before that, he lost 3 straight. He's fight at featherweight as well. However, he has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. 2011 pro MMA debut. He also is 0-1 as a pro boxer. He's 4 years younger than D Silva. He's got better striking stats and he's more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.88 strikes per minute. He's at -140, and it's you.
Give me the dog. Give me the address. Yeah. And here's why. Again, I want you guys all to know I do watch a lot of film. Go back and you watch Cody Stamen fight Luana Lacerda in the 3rd round. You guys probably don't know Luana Lacerda. He was only in the UFC for 1 fight. Cody Stamen got to fight a newcomer, which is pretty rare. And with 3:20 left in the 3rd round, Luana Lacerda decides he's Douglas Silva de Andrade. And he literally, for like 3.5 minutes, fights like Douglas Silva de Andrade. He only pushes forward because he's probably down 2 rounds at that point. He bull rushes forward like a madman, and he shoots, and he gets under the hips of Cody Stamen to the point where he takes him down twice. And he takes him down twice really easy, and Cody Stamen looks like that pressure is just going to absolutely wilt him. And Luana Lacerda has a really good time dealing with it. And, like, the thing about Da Silva is he does it for 15 minutes. He moves forward. He's never afraid to throw. He's never afraid to eat one. He telegraphs some things. But look, this is a guy who slammed Sadner Megamedov on his head twice in the 3rd round of their fight. He's got a great gas tank. He's got great wrestling. I think he's going to get in Cody Stamen's face, and he's going to be in his face for 15 minutes. And I think he's going to make him look silly.
I'm going Stamen, but I little worried because, as you said, Silva is very dangerous, as his 20 knockouts prove, but I think Stamen's better all around, better at striking, not more dangerous striking, but better striking, probably a better grappler too, but tough fight to call. I'll go with the younger guy, especially at a light weight class like bantamweight. So we finally disagreed. Let's see if we'll disagree on this heavyweight fight, Dan. This banger.
If we do, I'm going to find a new co-host.
Yes, the show is over. Oh, you have plenty of co-hosts. I've heard about you. All right, Carl Williams versus Chase Sherman. Did we break this down last time? Yeah, we did, right? It fell through last minute, right?
I don't know. Is Carl Williams supposed to fight Chase Sherman already?
I thought the two of them were. Yeah. I think they were supposed to fight a few weeks
ago. Oh, yeah, they were. Last month.
I think we may have broken it down.
Chase Sherman had a medical issue. Yeah, but it's easy to break down. So just give us the stats. Yeah.
All right, quickly, let's go through the stats. Sherman is a vanilla gorilla. There's the first stat I have here for you. He's 16-11 with 15 knockouts. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted twice. Yeah, I do remember breaking this down because I remember saying he's 4-10 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's 1-5 over his last 6, so he's just getting worse. He did lose his last fight. He was the BKFC champ, bare knuckle fighting champion. He, based on their last weigh-ins, he's 15 pounds heavier than Williams. He's an inch taller than Williams. He's 3 times more active landing strikes. However, he's been outstruck over his career by 0.55 strikes per minute in the UFC, +310. Carl Williams, 8-1, 3 knockouts. He's been submitted once, 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in contender series. He's won 5 straight fights. He used to fight at light heavyweight. Inch of reach on Sherman. Striking and grappling stats are better than Sherman's in the UFC. He's outstruck his opponents in the UFC by and contender series, so a couple fights, by 1.17 strikes per minute. -400. I missed Williams' first fight. That was when I was floating in the ocean.
That's good. I'm happy for you.
I heard it was a snooze fest, so I didn't go back and look for it. But obviously, I'm taking him. I'm not picking Chase Sherman. Come on.
He's got great takedowns. That's all we need to know. He's got great takedowns.
Sherman
and
has given up before when he's got taken down.
And he relies on them.
Which is also good, because Chase Sherman's also fought people who have had good takedowns and just chose somehow to box the former bare knuckle boxing champ. and like Carl Williams is going to do that. He's going to take him down 700 times. He's going to grind him into the ground. Carl Williams all day. No second thought. I'd even throw the negative 400 in a parlay if I really wanted to.
We like high fight IQ, right? Right, Jong? Yes, we do.
Well, so we don't like watching Carl Williams fight.
No, but if someone's got to, and will Chase Sherman finally be out of the UFC again for the last time?
No. He's got some kind of dirt on Dana White.
He must. All right. The main event of the prelims. Welterweights. Matt Brown. Yep. He's still around. Versus Court McGee. Yep. He's still around as well. That's what this fight is.
I love both still, these guys. I love
it. He's still around fight. Both these guys are immortal. Only one of them is called immortal. That would be Matt Brown. He's 23-19, 15 knockouts, 6 submissions, but knocked out 3 times, submitted 10 times. 16-13 in the UFC. He's gone 1-3 over his last 4, including losing his last fight. He has not fought since March of 2022. He's missed weight in the past. He used to fight at middleweight. Excuse me. Both these guys are tough guys too. TUF guys. He was 2-1 the Ultimate Fighter. He was on the comeback season, right? Is that right? Or was no. He was in one of the early ones, right?
Yeah.
Yep. 2000 and regional champion. He is or was 2005 pro MMA debut. Inch of height over McGee. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.83 strikes per minute. And he's at plus 200. The crusher, Court McGee, 21-11, 5 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out twice himself. 10-10 in the UFC, 3-1 in the Ultimate Fighter and the champion of that season. Used to fight at middleweight as well. 2007 debut, 3 years younger than Brown, more active landing strikes than Brown is. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost a strike a minute, 0.99, minus 210. Over to you.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that Matt Brown was on season 7 of The Ultimate Fighter. It's the greatest season that ever existed in The Ultimate Fighter.
Is that the Nate Diaz season or not?
No. Nate Diaz is 4.
Okay, I mean, right.
Season 7 is the greatest winner of all time.
Amir Sadala.
Amir Sadala.
Oh, I was right. Wow.
Yeah, that's my favorite. That's my favorite season of The Ultimate Fighter. If you go back to that season, that season rules of The Ultimate Fighter. It's got CB Dalloway, Amir Sadala. It's got Jesse JT Money Taylor, Matt Riddle, Tim Crater, Mike Dolce, future dietitian Mike Dolce.
He's
gone, really, weirdly. And then Matt Brown. It's great. And plus you got Forrest Griffin just like laughing at Rampage, getting upset all the time. it was such a fun season. Although I do miss Amir Sadala. I wish he actually panned out. Now, that being said, Court McGee, all day here. And I'm going to give you a really simple breakdown of one technical thing that both of these guys do that's going to just make Matt Brown's life a living hell. Anytime Matt Brown gets pushed back to the cage, or even when he pushes somebody else back to the cage, he goes for the tie plum. Single collar tie, sometimes double collar tie, looks to work knees to the body. What this does against a wrestler is it sets up an opportunity for that dude to take you down at will. He actually got taken down too many times and lost to Carlos Condit. Not a guy we think of as having good takedowns. And Court McGee, I mean, you remember the fight with Ramiz Brahimi? Just like absolutely exhausting in his takedown attempts. You have to go beat the hell out of him and stuff his takedowns. And I just don't think Matt Brown could do that consistently, especially at his age. Court McGee seems to have aged slightly better when it comes to MMA, with the exception of the recent knockout to Jeremiah Wells. But like, hey, Jeremiah Wells, it's like a truck. So I think Matt Brown is going to get too comfortable in the clinch. I think Court McGee is going to get too many takedowns. Give me Court McGee here.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if it's minus 210 in slam dunk, because I did have to do a deeper dive into it because they both are old as dirt, but I think McGee's got more in the tank, and Dan told you why. So those are our picks. That are our picks would be incorrect. All right, let's break it down. Recap it for you. We both have McGee. We both have Williams. I have Stamen. He has Silva, Draj. That's the only spot that we differed on. Both have Rodriguez. Both have Kim. Both have Battle. Both have Lisboa. So there you go. We'll be back tomorrow for I got a laugh out of that. Very, very.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. We'll be back tomorrow with the main card and all our fancy dancy picks. We haven't talked about the Discord too much here. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord is the place to be. Hang out with us. I don't really say rate, review, subscribe, all that jazz, but you should do all that too to help us continue to grow and stay in your ear holes 4 times a week. If you want to get at us on Twitter, Gumby runs the account for us. That's GPNMMA. He's also at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. Everyone's writings and podcasts and all our contests and all our different sportsbook giveaways are at sportsgumbypodcast.com. Told you about the Top Turtle podcast. Make sure you listen to that, Gumby's other podcast, and get in my pick'em contest and get my MMA writings into your inbox almost pretty much daily. It's moneymma.substack.com. All right. I'm professional wrapping this thing up. We'll be back tomorrow. I will remain D. Silva, Jeff Fox. Lethal Gumby Vreeland will join me tomorrow as well, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.